Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Mike Mutzel's here, too, ladies and gentlemen, because Mike's an old friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's one of the guys who helps us understand why people do what they do, especially the younger folks. And he's the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X, and he's here to talk to us about some research that he's found that tells us about why our employees stay with us and why they don't stay with us sometimes. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Always great to be here.
It's good to have you back. By the way, remind you that this is National Hamburger Month.
Oh, I had a hamburger last night, so I'm doing good.
Good for you. Yeah. No, I'm you know, and this is sponsored, by the way, by one of my favorite hamburger places in the world, White Castle.
Me too.
Oh, I love White Castle. I used to be, when I was a kid, I was pretty much addicted to White Castles. I couldn't get enough of those things. Oh, also, Mike, you'll appreciate this, especially if, I know I appreciate this. This is National, look, folks, I don't make this up. I just read it. National Older American Month.
I'm two for two so far, Jim.
Me too. Well, I haven't had a hamburger this month, but I probably will by the end of the day. National Older American Month. I'm so glad that older Americans have their own month. Good for those guys, Mike.
You know, I recently had my foot a little heavy on the pedal, and I got a speeding ticket, and the officer wrote my hair color is gray.
Oh, no. That's,
that's how far I've defined. So.
That's the unkindest cut. But now, you've studied recently the MetLife study of employee benefit trends. That's some research that you found lately, right?
Yeah, you know, we know that the national figures on turnover for employees in their middle 20s through their late 30s is nationally once every 3 years, and in the big cities probably a little closer to once every 2.5 years. And obviously, the cost of that turnover is expensive, but MetLife just did a study through the organizations that go to them for benefits. And their research, this is just out last week, was that 22% of all the employees changed jobs in the last year and a half. And the significant thing, that it's up from 17% for a similar period in 2004.
Now, how do we older gray-haired Americans, and they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, Mike, how do we deal with this kind of turnover?
Well,
it's rough, isn't it?
I think it changes the way we manage. I think it changes the way we lead. And I think it changes the way we select, you know. In the old days, when you and I were in a more of a company or a corporate or an organizational environment, you know, if you got a resume where somebody had had 3 jobs in the last 10 years and they were 32 years old, that resume went where?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right in the bad guy pile.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, that may be the talent pool.
So what you're saying is, in today's world, you look at somebody who's in that generation, the younger generations, and you say, well, if I'm lucky, I can hold on to him for 2 years, or her for 2 years.
Well, I think that you have an opportunity, and this is where, you know, as we've talked, I think small businesses have a tremendous opportunity. They just kind of match up the values of this generation with the environment and the culture that they have at work. And the values of this generation are family and social issues, and the companies that have been really successful in eliminating that turnover aren't talking about their business in a profit perspective, but talking about their business in a benefit, a social cause, a mission, if you will, what Blanchard would call a holy grail.
Mm-hmm.
Even sales teams are talking about no longer offering benefit analysis, but offering solutions.
Hmm.
And I think if you just, you know, it doesn't talk
how
about
would you,
money.
How would you differentiate between benefits and solutions?
Well, a solution is a benefit that is specifically geared to the client, i.e. something that would save time, save money, offer peace of mind, convenience, and that
fit who they are when they in the time of life that they're in.
Exactly.
Let me give you an example, see if I follow your meaning here. A lot of states require every insurance policy, health insurance policy, to have to be loaded up with certain, you know, certain things. And so basically everybody gets the same thing. But what if you were able to give a young man different kinds of benefits than you gave to his counterpart, who is 10 years older, married, and in the childbearing years? Is that what you're talking about, those kinds of targeted benefits?
Yeah, and I would target that entire presentation at protection of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really ironic, isn't it? I mean, you know, the corporate work I do with FedEx or Hilton, when you ask them what makes them successful, they always say the same thing. You know, we understand our clients and needs before they do, and so on and so forth. But rarely do we take that same metaphor and apply it internally to the employees that we have. I mean, if we know that social causes and family are critical, then maybe we start to live our mission statements or condense our mission statements so that they're solution-oriented or benefit-driven, and get people behind that. In other words, if we're really about service, let's make service the highlight of everything we do. If we're really about quality, let's use quality as our flagship. You know, if we're about market penetration, let's use market penetration as our flagship.
Do you think that part of the problem we have this century is that in the last century, by and large, employees were kind of disregarded? That was sort of the marketplace culture that everything else was taking your attention away so much that you sort of could disregard the employees.
Well,
is that too harsh?
I think that from my perspective, it may be a little bit harsh, but
I can't believe Mike Musil saying I'm being harsh about.
Yeah,
about.
I would come at it from a little different angle. I would say that things were always pretty much traditional in the way they had been. You know, and for the first time here, you have a. You know, I use myself an example. If I was in my 30s and I was working for Toro, you know, and Toro said, hey, Mike, why don't you go to San Francisco? We're going to pay you 30 grand more. We just bought a company out there. Go out and run it for 18 months and get that thing back on track. You know, I'd have gone directly to the airport, called my lovely wife of 25, 28 years, Alice, and said, hey, Al, I'm going to San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
Alice would have said, I love you. Start to look for houses.
Right.
You know, today's generation, if those male or female,
uh-huh,
have kids in Little League or two kids in ballet, they're likely to tell you they'll go and then find another job here.
That's my point.
Their value system.
My point is 25, 30, 40 years ago, you just said, okay, I want Mike to go there, give him a call and get his rear end out there.
Right.
Today, you got to have a meeting and say, what's he going to say? What do we know about his kids? What does his wife have a job? You see what I'm getting at? We have, and I don't mean when I said that we disregarded people. I don't mean that we didn't care about them. It's just that they were more predictable. I think.
Absolutely.
Stand by. We're going to come right back. We made news today. Mike Musil said I was being a little over the top. I can't believe that. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I hope you'll use it to your advantage, and don't forget, we got a lot of free things there. Actually, everything's free except our books, and it's all there for you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including all of the wisdom that Mike Musil has deposited with us over the years. Let me spell his name for you, folks. Mutzel. If you're looking for him online, any of the online bookstores are Googling him. His book is called They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. And Mike, give us your website, please.
It's www.unlockthemysteries.com.
Unlockthemysteries.com. And we're talking about the mysteries of the younger generations. And Mike, I was just saying that there was a time for a long, long time, as I said, when I said that the companies disregarded employees, maybe I should have said that they took them for granted because they assumed that you, if you worked there, that you were committed to the cause, and that if they needed you, you know, you were one of the pieces of the puzzle that they could move around. And 99% of the time, probably people saluted and said, you know, I'm their boss. Today, it's not like that, is it?
You know, it's really interesting. 10 years ago, you would rarely pick up a management book that talked about trust.
Right.
Now you can't help but pick up an, you know, one of the new Lencioni book or any of the new authors and not hear about trust. And
well, the defining book on trust is by one of our good friends, R.K.C. and Cuddy, Built on Trust, that my audience knows a lot about.
You know, it's funny. I just ordered that.
Well, good for you because
I haven't read it yet, but I will.
Well, that's good for you because that book's is outstanding. My audience knows that's one of my top favorite books in the world, and it's a very important book on management. But you're exactly right. Go back to your thoughts.
Well, I think managers need to realize, and small business managers need to realize that, you know, it used to be traditionally people would come into the company trusting their boss, trusting their organization until something eroded or violated the trust. You know, now employees come in trusting themselves, trusting families, trusting the social causes, but they don't have an inherent trust in their organization. And, you know, based on the media, how can you blame them? I mean, Enron, Arthur Andersen, WorldCom, the list goes on and on and on. So, you know, now the issue is whose responsibility is it to establish trust? And a lot of the senior management teams that I work with, you know, in my workshop series and speaking, you know, they just can't really grasp the fact that they're responsible for establishing trust. But at the end of the day, if they don't do it, nobody does it. You know,
why are they having so much trouble with that
turnover?
Why are they having so much trouble with that concept?
Because they grew up in a day and age where you went to work for a company, hopefully for the proverbial gold watch, and if you did a great job and had confidence in yourself, you know, you'd be promoted. And they're locked in the old stigmas, you know. And I think.
But I mean, are there still people left out there like that?
Oh, sure.
I mean, I would have thought by now those people would have either had a stroke, or a heart attack, or gotten fired, or retired, or be in the loony bin or something.
Well, that's an interesting comment because I think your audience, the small business people that have to be quicker to react, quicker to find their own niche in the marketplace, have an inherent flexibility that you don't find in the corporate world. And that's a huge point.
Well, no, you're exactly right. I mean, the thing is we're, you know, our management style is forged in the crucible. I mean, it's forged by fire.
Exactly.
We have, you know, we may not like it. We may resist it kicking and screaming, but we're down here on, you know, at ground zero. And if we don't make adjustments, we don't make it.
Well, you know, we're sitting here talking about the what seem incredibly high turnover ratios for employees today, but yet the senior management team, you know, when somebody 28 years old or 32 or 34 years old leaves for another job, you know, our first reaction often is, oh, they left for another, you know, $3,000 or $5,000, or they left for a quarter an hour. You know, the surveys that were done last year by Covey and Gallup, you know, are mind-boggling to me. 86% of the employees that left said they did so for the number one reason, which was trust and their relationship with their immediate boss.
How far down the list was money?
And three.
Yeah.
Like between three and four.
Yeah, and I've seen it lower than that.
You know, that forces managers to look in the mirror. You know, and a lot of times as managers, we don't like that picture in the mirror.
But you know what?
Change is tough. You know, nobody wants to change.
But, Mike, you've been looking at these surveys almost as long as I have. We talked about the difference between today and 30 years ago. 30 years ago, those numbers were the same thing. They didn't use the word trust. But the reason people left, the number one reason was not money.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that traditional senior managers still have that locked in their mind?
It's amazing. You'd think that they would learn or they wouldn't continue to be senior managers, wouldn't you?
I mean, I was just with an organization last week, and it's a national company, and I have no desire to embarrass them, but we were talking about this issue, and the manager said, well, we just lost this great manager. She took a job that was 5 miles closer to her house, and she had a 30-minute commute with us.
Uh-huh.
You know? And that was their rationalization, that their culture was benefiting and putting the elements in place to increase productivity with the employees, you know, when in fact, I'll bet if we had a sincere exit interview with the employee, the reasons would be entirely different.
Right, right. They were fooling themselves, weren't they?
And,
hey, Mike,
you know,
give us
a lot of that going around.
Give us your website, please.
UnlockTheMysteries.com, and the thing I love is they can go right to Jim Blassingame and click on my name and get my website.
How about
I
that?
Website all the time for reading.
It's like magic, Mike.
Thank you
for being here today. Good job today. The book is called They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. A lot of good stuff inside of there, folks. Thanks, Mike. See you next time.
Hey, thank you so much, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Dr. Pierce Howard right after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.